My name is James Beamond, and I'm the communications coordinator for the Minnesota District Council. So just a little bit about me. I get to do like social media for the district, and then I also do a video production, all that type of stuff, photo editing. Like I try to be jack of all trades for production and tech. So like I said, a little bit about me. I graduated from Southeastern University online. I went to North Central for a couple years, but my official degree is in mass communications and media arts. So it's that kind of whole field is just a jumble of words half the time. So cool. Well, we'll get started here. So I'm going to be talking about social media for the church. And what I really wanted for this presentation was for it to be kind of like a baseline of all the things that you kind of want to know going into starting social media, or if you're already doing it, that's awesome, and just kind of how you can improve. And so a lot of these slides are just like a one slide shot to here, this is a concept, and here's how, you know, this is somewhere where you can start researching from, or it's something that you can, you know, dig deeper on. So just getting started, I'm going to be talking about some basic definitions. One of the most important things is defining your purpose for social media. We'll get into it, but you need to define like everything before you start, because it's really easy to slip. And then how. So we'll talk about how you're going to actually like attain these goals. And so then we'll get into some best practices. So like I said, that's kind of in that how section. We'll just kind of talk about slide by slide. Here's all the concepts you want to know. Then I'll give you some examples, some tools. I'm going to try, and if the Lord is with our Wi-Fi, I will show you guys the district's analytics, and I'll kind of show you guys how to read those. And then we'll get into some tools, and then I'll talk to you guys about how to contact us, and then we'll have some Q&A. So, cool. So, first things first, you got to define and gather purpose for your social media. So if you're at your church and you're like, okay, we got to be on social media. That's like the obvious thing. Everybody's got to be on social media. Like you just should. And so, you know, the obvious reason is everybody else is doing it. But realistically, the best reason, hey guys, the best reason is like you want people to see you. The first thing everybody does when they hear about a church or they hear about an organization or they hear about a business is welcome, welcome. The first thing they do is they're going to look straight at your online presence. So whether that's in your Google business or it's in, and this is what we're going to be talking about, Instagram, Facebook, everything. So, you need to define who you're trying to reach. So you need to, and this is going to be your target audience. So that's a term we're going to look at, but are you trying to reach new people? Are you trying to reach current people? And the best of both worlds is mixed. And that's kind of what you want to go for with social media. You want to try and get your target audience, but as wide as you can get in that target audience, because as the church, we're trying to reach people. It's not like like Red Bull, you know how they post just crazy clips? That's because they're trying to just get anybody. That's what we're doing with ministry. So, and then what do you want to see happen out of it? What do you want to get out of social media for your church? All right, so we're going to define how now. You need to bring in, so again, we're defining. So how are you going to get to having a good social media presence? You need to take a look at your church mission. So all of us come from churches. Like we have people from our Hmong churches. We have, Sartell. I've met someone from Sartell. I don't know where he went, but the Edge, we've got people from Winona. You need to like think about your church and then what's the culture like? What's the mission of the church? So when I started looking at doing social media for my church, I'm at a small rural church up in Chisago, Minnesota. And kind of what we did was I was like, okay, what is we have a fourfold mission for our church. So I'm like, okay, we wanna, we're trying to, I'm blanking on it now, but we have like a fourfold mission and our whole goal is to teach and to train, lead people to Jesus, worship God, and then disciple them, and that's all out of order. But I was like, okay, we want to show everybody this is what we're doing, and this is how we're doing it through our social media. And again, I'm going to show you guys how to do that. And then you need to define your church culture. Like, what are your people like? Think about the type of people. Are they high energy? Do they I mean, are they younger? Are they older? When I started at my church, the median age was probably 55. and so that was just something that I was like, okay, Facebook is going to be big. And we'll get into how you define that. But I was like, Facebook's going to be big. And then determine what platforms you're going to focus on. And this is going to coincide with your goal. So you need to decide, how are you going to measure success? Are you going to look at engagement? Are you going to look at, are you just trying to communicate with your people? Or are you trying to go for impressions? And we'll define those terms. But you need to define how you're going to measure success, because that's really going to be what brings you along in social media. I'm going to talk about this a little bit later, but a lot of people, when they start social media for their church, their goal is to just have social media. And what happens when you create that account? You have social media. Your goal is met, and mentally, that's registered, but you're gonna keep trying, and then you're gonna get bored, because it's just like, we have social media, it's what we're trying to do. And that happened to me when I started too. There was like months at a time, and even now there's like weeks at a time where we don't have anything, you know, new on our pages. And so that's something we're gonna look at as well. All right, so the first thing you're gonna do is choose your platforms. So these are kind of the most popular right now. Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, TikTok, Snapchat, LinkedIn, and then X, that used to be Twitter. And so we're gonna kind of talk about how you're gonna choose between these, but you really wanna choose your platforms. That's gonna be really important, because a lot of people, they just are like, let's get on everything. And that's when you hit that goal of like, my goal is just to have social media. Well, you're gonna try everything. You're gonna post everywhere. You're not gonna see the results you want, and then you're gonna quit. So. I'm going to kind of show you guys my process for choosing my platforms. I start with looking at demographics. So I kind of have a chart here, and these are percentages between 13,000 online respondents. And so basically what we're looking at here is the ages of people who are using specific platforms. So you can see under Facebook, I mean, 88% of Generation X, that's my parents, 89% of Generation, or the Millennials, and then 77% of Gen Z. You can see it all there. It's really high for Facebook. It's the most popular. I can't remember how many total users they have, but it's insane. And then you see on YouTube, it starts to go down a little bit when the baby boomer generation, pretty drastically. And as you go down, you see how these platforms get more and more specialized. And so Instagram is gonna be a lot of Gen Z, that's my generation. And it really is, it's like the absolute biggest. So if you have a lot of young people, you're trying to reach youth kids, or I guess young adults it would be now, really target Instagram. TikTok, this is, and we'll get into like kind of the use cases for each one, but TikTok is, it's huge, and it's really specialized towards younger people, and it's really specialized towards like high impact content, if that makes sense. And then Snapchat, I haven't seen a lot of churches get into that space, but I know you can sponsor, and I'll get into this again, but sponsor advertisements in like people's stories. And then X, formerly Twitter again, this one is the most specialized of all, and the audience is really small. This is, it's really for like high impact written content, but you can see the amount of people using that app is a lot less. If you even compare it to like Facebook here, you see more X screenshots on all of these other platforms than you do see X posts in reality. So let's talk about Facebook first. Facebook is gonna be really good for community engagement. You're gonna be interacting with your people the most on Facebook. And so if your church has a lot of older people, Facebook's where you wanna really hone in. And I always recommend to people, only start on like two platforms. Don't try to get too wide, because you're gonna get overwhelmed. And like I come from a tiny church, and I mean, I have like one other person working on social media with me. So. Start really specialized. So you're going to create space for conversation. This is huge, because a lot of like you see Facebook comments are like famous for being just like crazy. Like everybody's like, everyone's mom is saying something crazy in a Facebook comment section. So, So it's great for events, updates, group communication. So Messenger is going to be huge. If you have like a, we have a moms group. They all communicate over Messenger at our church. It's actually kind of cool. They've got, you know, event updates. You can create events and invite people. You can invite every one of your followers. Getting into community bulletin boards. So like where I'm from in Chisago, there's a community bulletin board for Chisago. And we just posted like our Easter invite there. And it got some decent views, decent interaction. And it's like, just be a part of your community. And I'll get into that more. And then, so it's going to reach the most broad out of anything. Okay, YouTube. So that's best for long form teaching and sermons. It's ideal for live streams. And then when you're archiving messages, YouTube is really good for embedding videos. So like if you guys have a website, you can get an embed code from the share button on YouTube and you could slap it on your website and it'll show up as a video for everybody. It's really cool. And then it acts as a content library. This is great. Like I said, when you're archiving stuff, you can even unlist videos and throw them up on your website and like only website users will see that video. So there's a lot you can do with YouTube because it's so, it almost feels open source. Like anybody can just contribute. But it's not designed for quick updates or announcements unless you have a giant page and like a majority of your people are like coming from YouTube, if you know what I mean. Like if you have 300 people in church on Sunday, but you have 20,000 people on YouTube, subscribers, I mean, then, you know, then you're going to want to do updates like that. But I mean, you're just not going to reach your people by throwing something up on YouTube. All right. Instagram. So Instagram, again, this is really huge with people my age, kind of in that 18 to I'd say 30 range. It's going to be the biggest. So it's visual storytelling. Church culture is really big. When you see like, it's crazy right now, the amount of compilations you'll see of churches just doing really creative things on Instagram with like reels and stuff. You're gonna find way, like tons of short form content. Reels, people scroll on reels for, I scroll on reels for hours. You wanna focus on engaging and uplifting content. And that's just kind of how Instagram is built. It's the stuff that keeps people engaged is what is gonna be shown. So that's why these trends where like people are like, we did it for the district recently, actually. Pastor Phil Johnson, our youth director, inviting people to register, I think for district council, if I remember, or connect. And he did that thing where like, it was connect, okay. He did that thing where he like karate kicks the marker off and then he writes it. So like that was just, like that got tons of interaction on Instagram because it's just goofy trends. So make sure you have a business account too, and we'll get into how to do that. And again, if the Holy Spirit is flowing through our Wi-Fi, I'll be able to show you how it all works. Otherwise, and I'll get into this, but otherwise I'll record a video and I'll put it at the very end and I'll show you guys how to scan that and download it. But TikTok, so this is best for that high reach. It's that high impact, really short content. This is probably gonna be the best opportunity to reach people outside of your church because TikTok has kind of been shifting over the last few years where it's like, a lot younger people, and it's a lot, I'm not even on TikTok anymore personally, but there's a lot of like younger generations are really drawn to like authentic content right now. So you're gonna wanna put like behind the scenes stuff on there, testimonies, short teaching clips. I mean, you see it all there. That's gonna be the biggest like discovery. This is gonna be a great place to pull people in from TikTok, try to get them on your other socials or try to get them to your website, try and get them to church. Then we've got X. So this one is, I'm again, not personally on X anymore, but through market research, you start to see it's such a specialized community. What people on X are looking for are just like things that make them pause, make them mad. Realistically, the algorithm on X is really tuned to people who will just get pissed at a video or a clip or a paragraph they read. So really message driven. So this is like, I'm trying to think, like you quote a Bible verse, you just throw it on there, no commentary. Like it's that type of stuff, or it's a theological point. I don't know if I wrote it on there, but like I saw a church that wrote like a pretty contentious theological stance. And it just went insane. It went ballistic. All they said was like a clip from their bylaws. Like it was just a little clip from their bylaws. Went crazy. It encourages discussion, even though sometimes it can be negative. It'll get quick engagement if you play your cards right. And again, that's just, you just, and this is like, obviously this is all kind of like bouncing pad type content. So do your research on X if you're interested in it, because I think it's a really good opportunity that not a lot of people are pushing into. LinkedIn, another, speaking of opportunities that people aren't pushing into, churches aren't doing a ton on LinkedIn, but what you see on LinkedIn is a lot of super corporate content. You're seeing articles that people are writing about some random like business to business. That's like the biggest word on LinkedIn right now. But what you can do on LinkedIn is show off your staff, show off achievements of the church. And that type of content is what goes well on LinkedIn, if that makes sense. Share community impact, partnerships. If you're partnering with like venture or something, or you're partnering with 30 for Freedom, or any like organization, the local police department, they're on LinkedIn a lot. A lot of local police departments are. It's useful for networking and it builds credibility, because if somebody just looks up your church and they see like a LinkedIn page that's like updated, I mean, it probably would, you know, make them think like, okay, they're pretty serious about the organizational side of things. So if that's something your church is good at, I would look at LinkedIn. All right, so let's get into measuring success and goals. We're going to talk first about some of these kind of interesting terms, but these are really goals that you can shoot for. Impressions, so think trends. So I talked a lot about Instagram. If your goal is like, we just want to reach a ton of people, it doesn't matter if they come to church, it doesn't matter if they're in our city, think impressions, think trends. What are you seeing just go crazy? And that's what we chose to do with the Connect thing, because obviously our goal at the district is to reach pastors and communicate with pastors. But we're like, why not just make this fun? This is going really popular on Instagram right now. So we were like, let's do the marker thing. And so we did it. It worked pretty well. Engagement, that's a term for likes, shares, saves, and comments. And that's pretty universal to all platforms, excuse me. You're gonna see, and it's named something a little bit different on each one, but it's all the same thing. When somebody likes, that gives you one engagement counter. When somebody shares, that adds to that. It gets bunched up most of the time. If it's not bunched up, the platforms are usually really good about showing you that. And then comments are huge, saves. Saves is just when someone bookmarks it so they can come back later. That counts as engagement. So I know a lot of churches will do like a carousel on Instagram where it's just you post like 20 photos at once and they can swipe. And it's like all of these, like maybe you like post your church bylaws, something crazy like that. Like it could be anything. I know one church did a commentary on a verse. So like they pulled, I don't remember what the verse was, but then they wrote commentary on the next few slides, and it's just bookmark for later. And then, you know, they started showing bookmarks actually on Instagram recently. General awareness. Oh wait, communications and conversion. So you're going to hear the word conversion once in a while. And what that means is times people clicked links on your post, or times people went to your post page, so like your social media page. And basically that just shows you, okay, if my goal was get people to the website, how well did you do? Was it 2 people on a post that got 1,000 views, or is it 50 people on a post that got 100 views? So that's really interesting stuff to think about. Community updates. Bulletin board style. I would recommend you be pretty conservative with how you do this, because if you're just posting community updates, it gets to a point where you're asking too much of your followers and of your audience. And we'll get into kind of what that means in a second. So yeah, that's kind of like how you can set your goals. You can use these as benchmarks, or you can use them as measuring tools. So, all right. Let's talk about post types next. So this is the types of posts that you're going to see on these platforms. These terms are pretty universal. Again, people just call them different things because social media, it's like like more than like 3/4 of the world is on social media or something crazy like that. I don't know what the actual term was or the actual study was, but this is okay. So we'll talk about photos first. You're going to see photos that become like recap stuff. I just posted this morning for the district office on our MDC page on Instagram and Facebook. It's recap photos. I literally just took photos this whole event. You might have seen me running around taking photos of people on the stage, taking photos of worship, and just posting that stuff because that's where you're going to get a lot of interaction. You're going to want to see like wow factor stuff. Like for my church, I posted a picture. We donated a bunch of diapers to the local Mothers in Need Foundation, and it posted that with like a sign that said 20,000 diapers or something like that above it, and it went crazy because it's wow, like that's wow factor. It's picture, it's right there. Moments at church. So I talked about how for the district this morning I posted people worshiping. That's just a very sweet moment, that type of stuff. If your church is like really like the people are pretty sentimental, you might want to try and post a lot of photos because I mean, that stuff is happening all around them. And if they don't catch it at church and they see that, they're like, wow, that happened. So yeah, short form, this is gonna be like video clips, reels. Those are huge, reels and TikToks. That's what short form is really. So that's kind of like you're under a minute. A lot of times the biggest ones are 30 seconds tops. And these are clips from your pastor's sermons. These are devotionals. These are little series intros. I know there's churches who will intro a sermon series on socials, and they'll give you like a link to the sermon notes, like all that type of stuff. So make sure you're really creative with how you're using these. Graphics, these are verses with like pretty backgrounds. I know the Bible app can export these for you guys, that YouVersion Bible app. So if you need something quick and easy, and it was like a sermon point from that weekend, and say it's Matthew chapter 16, pull the focus verse from Matthew chapter 16 that you focused on in church and just post it with a background, post it with your church in the background, even like the outside of it, people recognize it. And we'll talk about that a little bit. Things people recognize are gonna make them interact with your post more. Like if I posted, I'm trying to think of like an example. So like at the district, sometimes if we need like good engagement or something, or like with the spinning wheel videos during the giveaway sessions, like we'll put Mark up there first, Pastor Mark Dean, our superintendent, because people love that guy and they see him talking, they're just going to listen. It's if your lead pastor is talking, they're going to listen. So that's really big for these. And then, yeah, quotes, info and stats. If you want to give like fun stats about the church, like, I don't know, I'm trying to think of like a good example. We had a worship night where like 180 people came one time, and that was fun. I had been workshopping ideas for a post where it was like, oh, this is a great stat from last night. We had this percent of the church there or something like that. Just fun stuff. Invitations, long form content. That's where you're going to get into like YouTube. So, and those long form video platforms, sermons, teachings, longer devotionals. Pastor Doug Graham is working on stuff like that. Like he'll just record like a 5-minute devotional and he'll throw it up on YouTube. That type of stuff is really cool. And then stories told, maybe there's something really cool, a really cool story that happened at church. Just record it, talk about it. Really cool stuff, just talk about it. Cause then people will share that. And especially if it's something that involves their friends, like again, seeing something they recognize, somebody they recognize, talking about something great that happened at church, throw it up there. Stories, that is, and I'll show you what those look like, but they're for like highlights and spamming. Like if you need to post a ton of stuff, last year for Equip, our story on Instagram was just like books long. So yeah, events, behind the scenes, all that type of stuff. We talked a lot about those type of posts. So I'm gonna show you what some of them look like here. So like, this is a reel that we did for Family Camp in 2025. And there was just a whole bunch of clips from worship, clips from people like bouncing on the bouncy castle stuff they had going on there. And then this is an example of a graphic. So this is Pastor Steve Larson. He spoke this morning at the main session. And this is kind of how we did our speaker spotlights. And so we were posting graphics with their headshot and just kind of what they do. This is from my church. So we did Easter week of worship. And so what I did was I created collages of each day, because we had, I think it was 18 services in 10 days or something crazy like that. So it was quite the task, but the people just loved it. And so we made these collages of just everything we did. This is an example of a story. I had to sneak the twins in there, but you see how like during games, they're just crazy on there. So each of these little bars represents another post, if that makes sense. So a lot of times I know a lot of people who will just sit and look at stories because people, this is like life update type stuff. So maybe something funny happens in the office at church, you know, just throw it up on your story, throw it up as a reel. I mean, even do that. Just another example, like this is a really simple graphic. So we each month we highlight a different church from our district, for the Minnesota district. And so during the Central Twin Cities section, I'm blanking on what church this was, but maybe it's one of your guys' churches. Did anyone recognize that? but this was in January. And so we just did, this is the January prayer focus for our Minnesota district. And this is a really pastor targeted post, but see how simple it is. This type of stuff works. This is just a photo dump. Facebook's really good for that type of stuff because, you know, people in the generation that Facebook is most popular with will just look at photo dumps. So it's really scalable. You can be super simple with it if you want to. Same thing with Reels. Like I posted a video during our week of worship. The kids department made like a slide that goes down the stairs. I don't know how fire code friendly it was, but it looked cool. So I just posted a video and like one of the youth pastor's kids was just like, if you're a kid at Maranatha and this is what you see, or this is, and you come to church, this is what you'll see. And there he goes sprinting down the hallway, jumps down the slide. And then that video did pretty well. So best practices. And like, literally that's as simple as it was. Best practices, attaining your goals. Okay. So this is going to be another launching point for you guys. Build a schedule. So I'm going to show you in a second what a content schedule could look like. But this is something that you can measure. This is something that you can follow. And this is something that can keep you on your socials. The reason you build socials isn't just for, or I'm sorry, build schedules isn't just so you can like do a good job posting. It's also so that your people know when they can hear from you and they know that you're going to be consistent with what you're posting. They're going to get updates on socials. So if you're going for some bulletin board styled posts, like inviting people to events, really want to be consistent with that type of thing. Maybe it's once a week. It could look different for everybody, but you really want to focus on quality over quantity. I know churches that when their graphic designer makes a poster, not only does it get put on every wall in the church, it gets put on every one of their social media pages every week until the event happens, and that stuff just doesn't do great. So we'll move on here. This is the very first content schedule I built at my church. And so you see how I kind of have it parsed out here. So YouTube, Facebook is led by one of our volunteers, Deanne. And then I do the Instagram mostly. And then we're not, I mean, we have LinkedIn and X accounts, but I don't keep them updated. I don't, just because it was too wide of a, I spread myself too thin initially. So we live stream that count as a post. That'll get you engagement. That's really good for engagement, actually, if your church live streams. If you're like a known person at the church, or you can sign into a known person at the church, you can just say, hey, welcome, thanks for tuning in the comments. You'll get like 20 people. Oh, so good to be here, but they're just on the Instagram, or I'm sorry, Facebook Live or YouTube Live, you know. Church story, I try to post a story once a week. Monday prayer, that's one of those things that our graphic designer makes. She invites people, we have like prayer nights on Mondays, inviting people to that on Monday morning. We post a sermon on Monday, and then we do a community post. So whether it's like a recap from the weekend or something like that. Same thing for Thursday, we got Wednesday night invite, and then we post a YouTube short from the weekend. I found that for our people and for like social media in general, if I post a reel with a sermon, with a clip from a sermon, it doesn't do well. I posted it on YouTube and it got like 3,000 views. So it's just like, you just gotta kind of play around with it. It's a lot of experimentation. You just find what works for you guys, what works for your culture, and what about your church culture communicates well to the masses, if that makes sense. It's kind of like that Paul being all things to all people. All right, so we're going to talk about branding. So a lot of social media is going to kind of coincide with marketing. You want to create and foster identity in your socials. So you do that through branding always. So think colors. What's like something, maybe your graph, if you don't have like church colors, like your logo doesn't have a lot of color, what does your, like what does your graphic designer commonly use? What are people used to seeing? And like I say it there, create it if you need it. Like if you don't have a logo for your church or you don't have colors or fonts picked out for your church, get a Google Doc open, pick what looks best, write it down, give it to your graphic designer, give it to your social media people. Everybody uses these fonts. Everybody uses these colors. And stick to it, because then people, that's that consistency I talked about. It's that quality over quantity. You're not just trying to chuck up shots, you know. You're not just trying to throw up posts just for the sake of throwing up posts. You're trying to say, this is our church, and we're representing our church to everybody on social media. Because realistically, it's all public. Okay, so this is another good thing to think about is asking too much of your people on social media. So I said earlier about how advertisements, they just don't fly that well on social media, especially if you're doing it organically. If you're paying to boost posts, that's a whole different story. But if you're just like trying to communicate to your people, throwing up like a graphic isn't always going to be the best way to do it. That's why like when we invite people to, when we invite people to register for events, we always get like somebody fun to do it, you know? But yeah, so too many promotions will absolutely cheapen the quality and the value to people who are scrolling. So they have this thing called the 80-20 rule. And so 80% of, I mean, you read it there. So 80% of what you do, you want it to be, this is us, we love you guys, we're having fun. Or this is like serious stuff, you know, all, everything we've been talking about, 20% should be, this is a graphic inviting you to our men's breakfast. You know what I'm talking about? Cool. All right. And then we've got responding to the community. So this is going to be huge. You're a part of your community as the church. And so when you're interacting on social media, you really, really want to be engaged with your community. You don't want to just be this body that kind of yaps. Does that make sense? So support your local businesses. Comment on their stuff if it's people you know, like especially if there's local business owners that go to your church. Get active on their social media, repost their stuff. This is all really important stuff to think about. Handling negativity. Decide before you start replying to comments who deletes spam, who responds to criticism, all this stuff. Don't argue publicly. Be calm, be kind, be very brief. And seriously, like you don't want to be berating anybody or acting like you're representing just yourself. Like you're representing your church and the kingdom. This is just an example of the communications department, how we've kind of decided how we're doing things. So we share stories. This is our threefold purpose of our department at the district. And I'm going to kind of skip over some of these because we're kind of low on time here. But take a picture if this is something you're interested in looking a little deeper into. Same thing here. So this is just kind of like a graph we built. So our target audience is not necessarily congregants. This is what we've defined for ourselves. So define this for your church. Not necessarily just congregants. It's lay leaders, people like you who are taking initiative and trying to learn about social media for your church. And then the most content we post is geared towards ministers. Tools. These are some good tools. I'll let you take a picture of this and I'll kind of skip over a lot of this, but so Canva, Adobe, this is great. And then we'll kind of jump down to number three here, tracking your analytics. You do that through having business accounts. And I'll show you what it looks like in a second, again, if the Wi-Fi is with us. Captions, hashtag research. Use AI language models because you can just ask it, like, what is going crazy on social media? Like, what hashtags are trending? What, like, trends are trending? What is search terms are popular? AI will just pull in all that information for you. You don't have to do that market research. Mm-hmm. All right, so we're gonna try. We're gonna do our darndest here to show you what the analytics for the district look like here. We're just gonna look at Facebook and YouTube. All right, I'm sorry, Facebook and Instagram. So let's go first. Oh boy, let's see how we're gonna do this. All right, so let's talk first about Instagram. So this is our Instagram page. When you go over to your left-hand side, as long as your business account, I have a tutorial on how to do that in the description, I have a QR code for you guys to sign. Okay, so you're gonna come up to your professional dashboard and look at your account. You're gonna see all sorts of insights. You're gonna see content type. So how are your posts doing? How are your reels doing? And who of them are viewing your content? So you see like most of the time, non-followers are going to be your biggest audience just because that's what Instagram does. It's not a church app, it's an everybody app. Okay, so this is kind of like your base. This is where you're going to see. So I said impressions, Instagram calls them views. You can get info on all of this stuff. It's really cool. You can go post by post, and then you can look at interactions. So this is people who followed you from the post. This is, so like, we've had 100 interactions in the last 15 days. I can't remember what I clicked. Down here, you can actually see when the best times for you to post are. This is really, really handy because 6 p.m. is huge for us, I guess, at the district. So, and that's Mondays.
What's a snowstorm?
Yeah.
Everybody's at home.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You're gonna see all this type of stuff. You can tab through. It's really cool. And then you can, everything we just looked at here, you can go post by post. So I just posted, it hasn't updated with the post I made this morning yet. Oh yeah, it is. So like this is the post I made this morning. This was a couple hours ago. So almost 100% of the people who saw this were following us. And then you're gonna see the same sort of thing on Facebook. So this is us for the last 28 days. So it's just reading charts, really simple. I mean, it's simple when you kind of spend some time looking at it. So take half an hour and just deep dive. I have videos that tell you way more about this linked at the end. I have a QR code. So, okay, let's move on back to our presentation here. How do you do that, you guys? Here we go. Did it come back? Okay, we're back. All right, and then this is just something I'm gonna encourage you guys to do. Build a team. Build a team to help you with social media. Grab someone from your target audience. I talked about finding your church culture, what type of people are at your church. Grab someone from that, or do it per social media platform. Say you're doing Facebook and Instagram like we do. I have somebody from our church target audience doing our Facebook right now. And then for Instagram, again, it's pretty wide still, so I try to post a wide variety of stuff, but my age is who's primarily on Instagram. So I'm the one doing it, guys. this could vary person to person, like I said. And then share your content schedule with them, share your branding with them. It's a great opportunity to get kids involved maybe whose skill set do not translate to Sunday morning. So like, I mean, like, I don't know a lot of people who are really good at social media who also want to greet all the time, you know what I'm saying? Or they're maybe not the type of people to usher, but the type of people on Monday night after work, they'll make an Instagram post for you. Something to think about there. And then some really good resources. So these are three books that the communications department at the district recommends to anybody who's doing social media for their church. I'll kind of give you a synopsis of each of them on this slide here, but Trending Up is like my absolute favorite. I just read it. Mark Forrester is the PR and social media guy for the General Council of the Assemblies of God in Minnesota, or the USA. So he edited this and wrote some articles in it. Really good. Everything I just said, but like times 10. Less chaos, less noise. This is for like your church, maybe your admins who are doing like bulletins, posters, ads, all that type of stuff. Rethink Communication. This book is really good for pretty much anything after 2021. This is a really good rule book for how do you do it. It even gets into like how you do church announcements. So make your pastor read it, guys. all right, and then this is our contact. So like I said, at the district office, we just really want to support church tech teams. If you do tech at your church, reach out to us and let us know who you are. Or if you do social media, this is our phone like extension, and that's our email. Just let us know who you are, because we're trying to kind of build that network of us who are doing tech in our AG churches. We just want to connect with you guys. So if you talk to Jessica, that's my mom actually, and she's a whiz. Anything Adobe, graphic design, she's really good at ProPresenter. Video editing she can do. I can help you with video shooting and production, social media like we just talked a lot about. Live streaming, I handle that at my church as well, and learned a lot at the district. Audio, I can help you with your audio, ProPresenter, presentation software, and then general IT. I do it down at the district office. I'm there just turning things off and turning them on again. All right, and then here's some resources. All right, so this whole list of stuff, so this presentation is going to be available at the link at mnaog.org/media. That's where you're going to find all of these breakout sessions. So if you missed one, you can get it there. We're also on Spotify if you look up Minnesota District Council. This presentation will be linked in that description, but these QR codes, that Google Doc with these links thing, that has all of these, so you can click on them anytime you want. Really good videos. So we're gonna have a little bit of Q&A here. We got about 7 minutes left. I went a little long, sorry guys. But before we do Q&A, I got a little giveaway. So I showed you guys these books. Hold on, let's see here. Okay, so the way we did it is we got these books. I've got a sticky note under three chairs in this room. If you have number one, you get the first pick. There's number one right there. So you get the first pick between those three books that I showed you guys. Who got number two? We got number two here. All right. If nobody else has number three, then just start looking under chairs. If you find it first, it's yours. Cool. And then we'll have some Q&A. Number three, great. All right, number one was you, so feel free to come pick one of these. Great. All of these books are on Amazon too, so if you take a picture of this, you can find them pretty good. So, cool. Congratulations, guys. Cool. All right. Does anyone have any questions? I know I went a little long. I'm sorry about that.
What's your average time that you spend doing social media weekly?
So for me at the district and at church, it's kind of my job. Okay, I'll go for the church because I'm talking to church people, not district people. I would say 3 to 4 hours. Yeah, but it doesn't have to be that for you guys. That's because I'm on YouTube and Instagram and Facebook. So I'm doing all three of those, tracking the analytics, making posts, editing the sermon. I consider that all social media time. Like if you're doing something that you're going to post, I consider it social media. You can put it down to an hour and focus on two things and just take pictures at church and post them. You know what I'm saying? So it can be really simple. Your people will love to see what's happening at church. So, yeah.
We want to make a QR code.
Okay.
How do you do that? That's somewhat free.
Okay.
Possible?
Yeah.
It's not, I don't know.
Yeah.
And something that will go on forever, because I don't want it to expire after a certain period of time.
Yeah. Let me look for where I told you guys about those tools. So Canva, I know they have free options. Adobe has free options as well. If you want trackable ones where you see how many people scanned them, Canva and Adobe do have, or I'm sorry, just Adobe has that option, but it's like a couple bucks. Canva, everyone says, I think it's Canva Pro is like what you want to do if you're like a church.
Get it for free.
Churches get it for free. Yeah. Thank you. That's cool.
If you're a church and you want it, you reach out and they have a free nonprofit.
All right. Yeah. Everybody get on Canva then.
And you also can do, there's this thing called QRcodegenerator.com.
That's great too. I was just going to say, if you just look up QR code generator, there's going to be a million of them.
Careful with that. We have done that in the past.
Okay.
They expire.
Okay.
You can do it for free with the Pro, and then you can even change the color. So
do it.
Yeah.
That's great. Do it.
Canva Pro, you can.
All right. So make sure you have your IEN number. Give it to Canva, and then you can use it for free.
And if you want Adobe, so I have a background in graphic design. So that's I use Adobe a lot. With the Adobe part, it's like it's software. But if you want, if you had somebody that wanted to learn software or you wanted that addition, you can also get a discounted price for that. It goes like if you get their Adobe Creative Suite, which is like all their software,
awesome.
It's typically $80 a month. But if you do it through a nonprofit, it's $40.
Cool.
One thing is, yeah. We use Squarespace. Squarespace gives us free QR codes for our website.
Great. Yeah. Squarespace. Awesome. Well, that answers the QR code question. Do we have any other questions? Yeah.
Oh yeah. Post, like, one
that's a great question.
Instagram and then one specifically mm-hmm. Facebook.
Yeah.
I just do it at the same time
because yeah.
it's easier for me. But
yes.
Like, what do you do?
So what I do, and I'll tell you what I do, and I'll tell you what I recommend. So what I do right now is I kind of curate it. So I showed you that photo dump. Mm-hmm. I think on Instagram it's just a normal carousel or it's a collage. I can't remember which one I did. I specialize it, and that's just because I have the time. What I would recommend, and the other thing is, like, if you post directly from Facebook to Facebook, it's actually going to boost your impressions a little bit. And that book by Mark Forrester, you won it. That book is going to tell you a lot about that. It'll actually boost engagement. It'll boost your views because Facebook prioritizes people who use Facebook to post. Same thing for Instagram. Same thing for YouTube. Cross-posting is just such an amazing tool for people who do not have the time. I didn't get into it, but Adobe, that will, there's actually a posting calendar. Meta has this too for Facebook and Instagram. You can make a posting calendar and sign into all your accounts on Adobe Express. And when you make one post, it'll post it like 20 different places if you wanted to. So,
there's
great thing to look at.
There's also a place called Metricool, which you can get a free account on there, and they give you like 20 posts a month that you can
cool.
do. And that's also where you can connect all your accounts to like four or five different places.
Great.
And send things like, you can do a YouTube short, a TikTok reel, an Instagram reel, and then like throw that reel on Facebook and send it all at once.
Perfect.
It's called Metricool, Metri, and then Cool, COOL.
Cool.
I'm curious about that, Adobe.
Adobe Express, yeah, that's my favorite, yeah.
I am in the team building phase
okay.
of our creative media team.
Yeah.
Other than photography, what are some things that you like to delegate to volunteers?
Yeah. Right now I'm working on what I've done is I have a photographer. His name's Alex. He's pretty cool. He gets really artistic stuff, which I'm like, we're using our people, man. So or our people who want to be used. So I actually just have him. I'm in the process of the communication of it, but what I would recommend is just have your photographers send stuff straight to the person you want to post it. Okay. So like Alex, the workflow would be Alex takes the pictures and he goes home and texts them or emails them to our like social media or Instagram girl who posts everything for us. So yeah. And if you're the one making the posts, have them all send stuff to you. Our graphic designer sends in advertisements to our Instagram person because then she puts them on the story. So, yeah.
Wow. So, like, from your experience, like, what did you do that helped, like, the church be more, like, engaging in social media?
Yeah, I'd say posting things that are happening at church. I post, okay, it was very annoying for me in the time, but now I know it was good. So I posted a picture of my pastor like preaching and everybody was like raving about how good that sermon was that week. So I'm like, I'm going to post a picture of him with a quote from the sermon. It got like 12 likes and I was so mad. I posted a clip of worship. I was so mad. I was like, seriously, like, I thought you guys liked this guy. So I posted a clip from a worship night, 100 likes in the night. And so you need to just focus on it's experimentation,
yeah.
But it's, okay, my people respond really well at my church to video clips of things. So that's what I did. So it's what do your people respond well? Generally, it's faces and it's videos that will get engagement. So that's what I recommend. Just start there and see what happens. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So how do you have managed the media storage and how long you keep the files and then archive the files?
Yeah. So personally, you mean like for like when I take a picture, how long do I keep that picture? or like how long do I keep things on our page? Yeah. So I delete seasonal content. So like, and this is, I think it's more personal preference than anything else, but like I don't have Merry Christmas 2023 on still. Does that make sense? So I would say wait a year. And then when you're getting to your seasons, you're making your like, say you're making your Christmas post, take down last year's because it just looks smoother when you're scrolling through your social media. So I'd say keep things up a year. When it's like pictures from church, that cool things that happen, I say just keep it up till they delete Instagram forever or something. So, yeah. And then you had a question?
What about privacy, like people's privacy?
Oh, yeah. So when you go to church, because it's like anybody can go there, it's basically public. It's the same thing if you're recording in like Walmart or something. If you're recording at church, the only person who can make you not post something or record is going to be who owns the building or who is like in charge of the building. I actually learned this in my media law class last year or 2 years ago now. So yeah. Yep. So, but I would be more careful with kids. Mm-hmm. I would say, yeah. And that was the thing I was going to get to is like, don't just post kids. Make sure you have your children's pastor send parents emails. That's going to be the best way to do it. Like I know at our church, a lot of the kids have parents who serve on children's teams, if that makes sense. So just have your children's pastor reach out to whoever kid you got a picture of and see if they're okay with it. So, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
First question is, in terms of editing, do you recommend DaVinci Resolve? And then my second question is, a lot of churches, when it comes to posting on social media, they tend to have like a lot of the same trends in terms of the reels that they post.
Yeah.
How do you make a post that makes your church unique from all the other churches?
Oh, that's a good question. Experimentation is huge for that. Oh, and I do recommend DaVinci Resolve. It's a great free option. And if you start paying for stuff, it's even better. I use Premiere because that's just what I'm used to. But okay, so yes, experimentation is going to be huge. I know, like I just saw this, I think it was Corner Coffee. I don't know for sure, but they posted a video of like an espresso cup and they put the phone on the espresso cup and poured espresso into it. And it revealed a message, come to church on Sunday. Just experiment. Like, what are people at your church good at? Maybe like somebody plays a really interesting instrument. I went to an event where this guy, he had a trumpet and he wasn't invited, but he did it and it sounded good. And he had a trumpet. He had a trumpet and he played his trumpet during worship. And yes, it sounded great. He knew his stuff. Just post a video of that. You know what I mean? Because that's unique. So what's unique about your church? What's unique about your people? And just experiment with that. So, yeah. Anything else? I think we got to wrap up here. All right. Well, thank you guys so much. Appreciate you coming today. So, yes.